Welcome to the Been There, Done That podcast with Angela Dunn Cartledge. Hi, y'all. It's the Been There, Done That podcast. This is your host, Angela Dunn Cartledge, and I am here with Trina Ulfert. I cannot wait to have this conversation because it's been a long time in the making. Trina, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And as I said to you, appreciate your patience, but here we are, stars have aligned.
Exactly. This is when it was supposed to happen. So this is all that matters. I'm really excited that we are having this conversation because it is such a powerful story of grief, but also how you are turning that story into your own memoir. Tell us why you're here and what brought you to the show.
I love it. Well, you and I connected such a long time ago, and I think it was just our first initial chit chat like this, where I was like, oh my gosh, we had so much in common, you know? And it was like that one first hour, like blew by fast, where I was like, we're going to have a good time the next time we actually get together to record a podcast. Since then, because it was like many moons back, so much has changed for me and for your audience here. You know, my background is 20 years in the beauty industry, and I'm still involved in the beauty industry, but I have since the past year just kind of removed some things that no longer apply. And I do more coaching, consulting, speaking, and I run masterclasses and workshops on topics about grief in your career. You know, like we all have loss in different shapes and forms. And following my husband's passing over a year ago, everything I was talking about before literally was like, we really got to talk about it. Like, we really need to have some open dialogue. We need to do these things. And 5 weeks after he passed, I started writing, not quite thinking in my brain that this was going to turn into a published book. I was already a person who journaled. You know, I was doing all these things. I was just always a place of like a different type of self-care for me. And writing the book, all of a sudden one night I realized this actually is going to be a book. And all the pieces just started kind of, you know, start plopping together, right? Everything just starts kind of moving the way it needs to. This whole journey, as I was saying to you earlier before we started recording, has been all the feels, all the emotions, because every time I would edit, I'm rereading and I'm like, this is my story. This is not someone else's story. And I feel we can get more into about the book and those details, but I'm still in the beauty industry, but I've made a little bit of a shift. And the things that I feel like I share a lot is everything has just slowed down to find a different type of joy, to really find like a different type of a meaningful career where you're not just running around all the time, because that was me.
the busyness of busyness, right? That it's almost its own, it has its own life. And that what I've found, and I know you referenced this just a few minutes ago about how much we have in common, but what I've found is that I tend to be busy to keep myself from sitting and processing and doing the important things. And so there are so many different directions we can go in, but we're gonna dig in right there. To me, we've all lost something. In your particular case, you lost a dear human, a person that was in your heart all the way, and then you had to figure out what that looked like afterwards. Some of us have lost things in our career. Some of us have lost things in our security and our stability, and whether that be career or in a relationship, whatever that looks like. So there's different facets to grief, but I feel like they're all part of the same diamond, that we're all looking at it a slightly different way, but that it's all part of the same lump of coal that has been squished enough to create something beautiful. So talk us through how, I want to say, talk us through how you got here, but that's way too big of a question. So
maybe here for a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like we'll still be talking 5 days later.
Ready for that?
And still having this fantastic conversation. But I think that what I really want to get at into is, what is your definition of grief? And what does that look like when you speak to other people? And then I feel like we can go into more of the story of the memoir.
I like it. And I think grief is a very important topic. No one really knows how to talk about it. And I feel when I'm sharing, it's never from a place of, you should be doing this. It's simply sharing my experience and my observation. That's also actually how I wrote the book too, was like, not a therapist. I don't have all the answers. This is just how I know it from feeling it and seeing it with my own eyes. For me, we can back up a little bit. Following the pandemic, I felt like even myself with career and relationships with people I work with, it was all becoming too much. And I felt like I was going back to that hustle culture in 2019 where I was doing all these things. So by 2022, I was like, no, flat out, no. But yet you're still, we sometimes get into these careers where we build it where it's not sustainable. And then we have this heavy load on our shoulders. That's been my observation. Because I felt like, I don't know about you, in 2020, like everything slowed down. We had that opportunity to be like, oh, well, isn't this wonderful? It feels like 1985, even though I was a child then. You know what I mean?
I was just about to say how wonderful it was, and you just took the words right out of my mouth. So go ahead.
We didn't know what was going on, but there is that side where you're like, nobody needs me. I don't have to rush somewhere. There's no rush to go get the groceries. Like, you know what I mean? Like everything, just time kind of, we were slow burning, and I liked it. So then things are amping up, like literally 2 years later, but everyone's still in a place of like navigating like how they feel and behaviors and health problems and all these things are just, there was just so much going on. And then that's how I felt too. I realized, wait, I don't want to go back to that. But as I was saying, I'd already kind of put myself in this position where I'm carrying all the load of everything that needs my attention. And then you're asking yourself, how did I arrive back to this again? What, like, have I not learned anything in 2020? But it's just because this is all we know. That's what I'm feeling like. So in the same boat, I'm watching my beautiful husband. We've been together over a couple of decades. And these were the things that I started to notice about us is that, you know, I think for us, when you're in your 20s, in your 30s, you were so career focused. But again, this is like, I feel like how society moves, how our people move, like this is all we all know. So we're more career oriented versus like really catering to what our marriage needs. Like it was more exciting to be chasing the money, to be chasing the rewards. We're doing all these things. And then by 2016, for me, even before the pandemic, this is like when my health was starting to go. And I feel like that's usually us girls, right? It's hormones first that kick in. We're like, what's wrong with me? And why am I putting on weight? You know, I laugh about it, but that's kind of it. Most of us, when we see someone post, why don't I just put on weight? Because we're out of whack. We're not in alignment. And so just kind of speed up again to 2020, back to 2022. I'm like navigating and I'm like saying, no, this cannot be like how the future's going to unfold. Meanwhile, Aaron is like at the height of his ambition and his career. And he's always been successful. Like I've always said, I'm like, I never had a lazy man. Like Aaron was restless though. And he'd get fidgety pretty fast. And that was always kind of like a LOL. But this was a different type of fidgety and restlessness that I was like, oh. And he became very cynical too, you know, within time following the pandemic and just like all these things. And then yeah, I learned later, a lot of this is stemming from burnout. So there's a lot of things during that part in the last 2 years before he passed, because he passed away early 2024. So really for those 2 years, 2022 to 2024, was kind of messy. While I was in this place of, we need to be focusing on us, like what's really beneficial for us. Aaron was still in the, I got to make up for lost time. There comes the hustle. So we were having conflict and I started to realize I'm feeling grief because I'm feeling neglected. We're not really talking about the things that matter. Things very surface. And I was just starting to spiral, but yet it felt like it was such a slow, like 2 years, but it was so fast paced that everything was spiraling. So I already had grief before he passed.
What I love is that you are able to see that even this soon in your grieving process, that you're not looking at it and saying, but he was a saint. He was all these things and everything was perfect. And then it wasn't. And that is so, I think, so important and so healthy to be able to look at it honestly and see the struggle up until that point and knowing that that's part of your grief, right? That's part of the process that you're going through in what those 2 years were like. Had you known what it was going to be like, what would you have done differently? I want us to kind of pause there because you did that. Those 2 years, it's important to talk about those because you were still in relationship, but you were feeling distance. You were feeling disconnected. You were feeling that two different paths kind of moment where you wanted to slow down and you wanted to focus more on your nucleus and he wanted to continue to chase. And so talk us through how that feels now. Maybe that's a better way to say that.
Actually, that's a great question, how you just said that, Angela. You know, and that was just to kind of go back just a little bit too. When everybody was shocked, like what happened to Aaron, you know, he was 46 and I'm like, he didn't just die. I've been watching this unfold for 2 years. And then the man's not making doctor's appointments. Like there was all these things that, you know, part of me, even now today, because a lot of this is in my book. And actually this will be I'll be reading one of my chapters at the book launch next month, and forgiveness versus the blame game is the chapter. And it's still a sensitive topic because it doesn't mean that, okay, it's been a year. And that's the thing, my grief and my healing isn't built in a schedule and a calendar. Like, okay, so it's what are we, Wednesday? But that doesn't mean anything, you know? So I've had to acknowledge to be like, I'm going to move through and with as I see fit. And it doesn't mean little things still don't creep up from time to time. Where I'll be honest, I just had chiropractor last night. I saw my girl and I haven't seen her in a long time. And we did, guess what? A lot of pelvic and hip work. She's like, you're holding on to stuff. And that's where we hold most of our what? Heavy trauma and emotion. So by the time I left and I got up this morning, I was like, whew, I think that just opened up everything. So I was messaging her. I was like, thanks for the beat up session. Cause I think we just like, and I was processing in my sleep last night. I'm like, I don't know if I really even slept, I'll be honest. Right. But I think it was just reprocessing. And I have to remind myself, it's no one's fault. Cause then you bounce back and forth between like, maybe this was always his timeline, given history of some compulsive behaviors he had before I met him. And once in a while they would appear in our time together, but they were really heavy the last 2 years. So there was always like what I call the sliver of conflict. So a lot of times I still kind of go back to that where I think, what more could I have done? Funny how we think we can always fix it and fix someone else, right?
There's isn't that. It? And it's so powerful to pause there because it's not just about fixing them. You're thinking about what could I have done differently within myself? What could I have done differently for Trina so that this would have been, and you can't, it's, you got to let it go, Elsa, right? I mean, it's one of those moments that but that's what we do. That's how we process. We relive it. We add our perspective to the story. All those things happen. So powerful to hear you say that, though, that it doesn't matter how long you go. It doesn't matter how long you are away.
You're there. Yeah.
Because you're still there. A part of you will always be in that moment. And then you live on past that. And what does that look like? So I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was such a powerful thing you said. I wanted to jump in.
No, I'm glad you jumped in. And I think that's just what it is just being honest to be like, I feel these things and that's okay too. But I still need to be like, is this one I still need to kind of honor and mend and work through? Or have I already had this conversation too many times with myself? Maybe it's just time to be like, okay, bye-bye. Because there's that thing too, but there's no rushing the process. And that's where I always feel like when I share my experiences, it's not from that angle of this is what you need to do. I think when that moment arrives, every hour can be different. The days can be different. The weeks can be different. So again, as I was wrapping up the book and I was like, oh my God, I have a book. Like, we're now making it official and it's going to be published. You know, all these things are unfolding. And yeah, I was just rethinking about some stuff last night, you know, that forgiveness versus the blame game. There's so many fingers you could point at. There's so, you know, who could be responsible for this? I could blame family. I could blame us. I could blame politics. I could blame, you know, the company he worked with, his colleagues. Like, there's so many angles you could go. And like, I harbored a lot of that too, where I was like, did I put too much of like my own bullshit on him and all the things I was doing? And that's just coming from an angle of being human. That's really all it was, and accepting that. And, you know, I've had to work hard in my mornings when I wake up. There's different things that I, you know, I always try to enforce something different just to feel joy in a different way. And joy can also be sad. And that's okay too, right? Because you're missing a person. But it was all the things that led up to it that I've had to incorporate a few things where I would say, you know, like, I forgive myself. I forgive Aaron. And I would just kind of walk myself through a few things just to kind of have that moment to be like, and release that burden a little bit, because there is that part too. I was giving him a hard time. Why aren't you booking a doctor's appointment? That, you know, that clinic's accepting new patients. I should have just booked it for him. But then I'm like, but I'm not responsible for him.
Right. And then would he have even gone? I mean, it's like you said earlier, that at a certain point, we have to accept that this was just his timeline. And yes, could it have been slightly different? Could it have been prolonged a little bit, maybe? Could it have been shortened even more? Probably. You know, there's different pieces that we could have possibly done differently. But what I'm so moved by is the concept of forgiveness, gratefulness, choosing joy, all of those things, as opposed to the guilt, the shame, the regret, whatever those emotions are. Those are always going to be there too. They're always going to resurface, just like you said. They're going to come back every morning. You have to convince yourself that he's not just in the bathroom. This is real. You know, this stuff has to happen. And it's that fascinating piece to me that you are not intentionally skipping around the board game to pass go again to try to skip the hard parts. You're not trying to undo the process by fast forwarding through it. And that is, to me, the most beautiful thing to me about this, is that you are teaching me so much about being here right now as much as we can be, and then being able to allow those things, those hard things, to process through. What I've found, and I'd love to get your perspective on it too, is that when I do sit with it, when I do allow those moments to bloom and blossom and then fade, they go a little bit quicker than if I were to tamp down or to put it in a box and hide it, you know, whatever that looks like. How is your processing feeling now, even though it's only 1 year in, or a long, it's a long and short 1 year, right? I mean, it feels like an eternity, especially in writing a book, and it's also short. So talk us through what your process looks like now versus what it did, at, you know, in the acute trauma stage.
You know, I will say my process is still rather similar. Because and this is interesting, I was just saying this to a friend the other day, I no longer had to worry about Aaron. So there was also an interesting emotion called relief in week one. And by the time I've kind of gone through some stuff, because there were some other things that kind of unfolded, like I had to move, and then I always had people coming by for like the first 3 weeks, which was fine. I had people staying with me, which is great. But when I finally had the opportunity, I remember specifically how I was sitting on my couch looking out the window. And I will say I have a beautiful view. I can see the Rocky Mountains, and then because downtown Calgary is just a little lower. So then everything kind of goes up. So then all you see is like all the homes with all the lights. Like there was just something beautiful about it. But that's how I've always looked. I think I will be forever known as the girl who always just looks at the sky and is like, look at that sky. And nobody really understands that. You probably do. You're picking up what I'm putting down, right? We're just like, you pause and you just, it's just that moment of like, you experience abundance differently, right? Like we're just always in this constant awe with still beauty, even though things are traumatic and like happening to us. And for me, it was having that first moment sitting on my couch, looking out. And I was like, I haven't sat with myself and in silence very long time. And it was very welcoming. And I think that's where, when I say relief too, was I just finally just had to worry about me. And I also acknowledged right away, Treen, we have a lot of work to do. I'm not broken. But all those things I've been sweeping under the rug, that's what I say. You say put in a box. I'm always like, we're always sweeping stuff under the rug. Let's stop sweeping. Like that doesn't help anything. Now is the time to unpack, really like understand all these moving components, because before Aaron passed, I was starting to be not my usual peaceful self. Like all of a sudden I was not rage, but I was just like, and I'm like, who is this person? I am not this person. And I remember specifically standing in the bedroom the one day, and I'm just like looking up at the ceiling, and I'm like, obviously I'm like, the message here, what is going on? And I felt responsibility then to be like, I have actively participated in everything leading up to this moment. I'm responsible for myself. So that's also how I felt following Aaron passing. That responsibility was, I got to take care of me. That's all that matters. And I also had this too, at any point tomorrow may never come. So being present now and honoring that, right? Like how you were just saying, like being in this present moment is where it's at. Is it the answer for everything? Well, I don't know. This is all that I know right now.
We'll find out, right? I mean, it was in that moment because of that acute, all the emotions that were acutely bearing down on you at that moment. And I so relate to that relief moment. That you realize that you no longer have to make decisions and have them be pushed back on or accepted or any of those things. Those with regard to that person and their care, you don't have to do that anymore. And that's a hard thing to admit out loud. So once again, I am in awe of your honesty and vulnerability Because I'm admitting something that I haven't admitted before. And when you become a mother, you're expected to do all of these things that are selfless. You're expected to do these things that no longer affect your ability to do them. You're doing them for this other person. But that relief for me was palpable. I mean, it was, I specifically prayed for it. Not that I wanted my child to not be here, but it was the fact that I wanted him to not be struggling and that not to be my responsibility to be making those decisions. And so those things all intertwined into the timeline, to use your term. And that is so powerful to think about and to be in this moment and talking about that with you. I've asked this question of most of my guests, but I'm going to ask you, and I have a sneaking suspicion I know what you're going to say. But I'm going to do it anyway. If you had to do it all over again, what, if anything, would you honestly change?
Nothing. I we don't know. And I have to have my friend, right. If I had to ever go through this again, I don't think it'll be the same right. thing. Like, I don't even know. I have no idea.
You're a different person for having experienced it. And so that is the story to me, is that we go through things aggressively, egregiously hard things. And then when we wake up a year later, 5 years later, in my case, 16 years later, you start to look back at it and realize, but that got me here.
Yeah.
That created this. Otherwise, if that hadn't been there, this wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know each other.
No.
Had it not been for your incredible trauma and story. So it is also hard to say that you wouldn't change anything, right? I mean, that I'm getting emotional just thinking about it, because to say that you wouldn't change anything indicates that you are okay with the loss. But I also, the only reason I'm okay with the loss is because I had the love to start with. So how does that sit with you? Where does that fall in your perspective? And give me your thoughts on that.
You know, I feel like, and that there's like so many angles, because you're right. There's a different type of growth, you know, a different type of acceptance. You become a different type of wiser. And that's, I was kind of lightly joking before, where you're like, be careful what you wish for. I honestly felt like I was being prepared for something. And I kept talking about a shift. There was a frequency happening. I just didn't fully understand what that meant. And then there were some, as I said, different things, like a premonition, some feelings built around, like I kept experiencing something before it was actually happening. So when I went to wake Aaron up, and he was sleeping in the other room, he had passed away in the night. So I found it. I had to call 911. Never done that before in my life. I had to do CPR in his already deceased body. Never done that before in my life either. Like, it's very interesting that the whole 20 years we're together, none of us were in the hospital. We've never had to call 911. Like, there was never urgency, like never ER. And all of a sudden I'm experiencing that. That moment, I've never felt more honored that he still chose me. I was the chosen one at the end. I had no questions, Ange. I had no questions. I knew what happened. I knew something was coming, and I realized this was the moment I actually was being prepared for. And so I think I was already in that place, and we had love. We were best friends. We did a lot of cool things together. We traveled, like, you know, we did all the things. And, but it was just those last 2 years that I was, that was what I was like trying to like get around of, if that makes sense, is the 2 years that I was having a hard time there. Cause I realized I'm kind of going this way. But he was like, no, I'm going this way. And then the 2 months out before he passed, I thought we were kind of coming back together on the same page. And it literally felt like the universe, God, whoever's upstairs, whatever you want to call them, literally was like, actually, you guys are done. That's literally how it felt to me. And even though it's a loss and I'm missing him, and it's like, you know, all those like moments and things. And I mean, even his dad passed away in the beginning of 2025, and his dad became even more of a friend for me, because Aaron's mom had passed away a few years ago. So we were able to talk about what it's like, you know, being a widow and having that connection. But then Aaron's dad passes away, and the whole time I'm thinking, why isn't Aaron here? But I think there was something to do with that too. I think Aaron just didn't have coping tools at the end, and I think he would have a real hard time. So it's just very interesting sometimes. I think it's our perspective, how we want to move through time and space. It's ugly, but I've also just feel like there's been so much beauty along the way. And you're right. I get to hang out with you today on your podcast and share and have a heart to heart. Like there's more to all of this. And that's what I'm going to be careful what you wish for. Cause the things I was thinking about wanting to get back into is like, it's now been happening. So that's the thing. That's why I laugh. Cause it's like more of that, like laughter when you're in awe and you're like, yeah.
It's fascinating, because that is exactly the way that it's been for me, and especially this conversation. But I think there's just so much power in the fact that there wouldn't be this creation, there wouldn't be this book, there wouldn't be this conversation, there wouldn't be this podcast if it hadn't been for our shared experience. That it's all about that process. And it is so incredibly awesome. And I don't use that word like, it's so awesome. Like, I mean it truly, in that awestruck in the fact that that something that horrible that can happen to both of us can put us in a situation where we're having this beautiful of a conversation, where we're going to be able to help other people to understand and process what happens to them or what has happened to them. These things are truly and utterly beautiful. And while the thing that brought us here isn't beautiful, the thing that was there before the thing that happened that brought us here was. And so I just value your perspective so much, because it is so open and allowing. You are not saying, it has to look like what I did, or it has to look like this over here, or I'm still dealing with this or that or the other thing. And so you can't move past me. You can't be in a different perspective because of where I am. You've never said any of that. You always are so helpful in that you are saying, this is what I experienced. This is how I think it can help you, even if your perspective is a little bit different. You and I, of course, had similar situations where I found my son, you found your husband, that you had to then figure out what to do next. The logistics of what that feels like and looks like are part of the story, but they weren't the initial story, you know, the original trauma was different. So what is your perspective now? And how do you feel like you want to turn this story into joy, into a way to help people?
I think it's because I had the opportunity right from the start, not right from the start, but those first few weeks in, just to slow down. But I'm like, I'm just going to trust this whole process. But it took weeding out things. Like, as I said, I was in the beauty industry. One of the main industries I was in weddings. That all wrapped up in 2024. I was already kind of wanting to exit out. Aaron's passing gave that push. I was stressed out. It was unrealistic expectations. Like, things were just not the same, but also maybe I'm not the same. There's that too, right? So I also, having that moment, the opportunities to pause, to listen, to write, to move with how I see fit. It took getting rid of some garbage first. It took me going into some serious darkness. Like when people say love and light. Yeah, to get there, you know what I'm talking about. Like to get there. And I'm like, and at times I'm like, am I still there? But I feel like I've carried a different type of peace and security. But that's because I've created different practice with how I get up in the morning. You know, I do different affirmations. I do meditation. How do I want to spend that first chunk of the morning? And I've had to work really hard on my heart and my mind. Because as we know, our minds are like chatting all the time, right? So, and then that's where I've had to really teach myself. And this isn't by a book. This isn't by listening to so many podcasts. Like I turned everything off. I feel we're our own natural healers because we're so bombarded by so much outside noise. And that's what starts to get to us if we let it, right? And so the first time in a long time, just being able to be with myself and create this opportunity and write a book and hearing all the things, you know, that Trina needs to share. And I was like, I'll just share. Like there's really no perfect plan. I got people, as I said, helping me out. Like I have my assistant, I had my publisher with the book, I got my marketing PR team. Like everyone's just doing their part because again, what have I not learned? I'm not going to continue moving forward, following Aaron's passing, shouldering all the things. You can't. And I'm also going to put this plug because I feel like you probably have this too. And it's the people you love and trust. You don't need everybody. You just need those few people. They became my pillars of strength and they're still my strength today because you need other people to like lean on, share, reach out. Someone will take your call, you know, like things like that too. Like you don't have to be all alone, but the alone side, I also appreciate.
Both. The balance, we need the alone time to process, but we also need the together time to process. There's different perspectives that come from either place. And I so relate to that. I mean, Trina, you just do such a good job of bringing us in. And I can't wait to read the book. I'm so excited for it to be in this world and have its own little life and have its own little house, you know, for it to do its thing, because it is going to help those of us that have those moments where we don't give ourselves permission to feel the things. All the different aspects, all the different facets of what we feel. And that to me is the thing I'm the most thankful for, is that you gave us permission, even if we didn't lose our husband, you're giving us permission to feel the things that we need to feel. And to me, that's the biggest healing moment that we can have, is to give each other permission and hold each other's hands if we need to, so that we don't drown in it. And it's just, that's a really, really powerful thing.
I agree. I just feel what we all need right now is just love, compassion, and kindness. Because as I said, tomorrow might never come. So you do you is like kind of been my message. You do you. Like, stop listening to sometimes people who may not actually really care. And are they actually coming from a place of love? There's that side too, you know? And it's interesting, some of the things that just unfold too during loss, where you're like, oh, here's your true colors. And then the other people, you're like, oh no, you can come over, you're fine.
Yeah. Come back over, held my hand, you know?
My language.
Yeah, because it's all about, again, it's all about that community and that perspective, but it's also one of the harder things to do because we don't give each other permission to do that. So how can we work with you? How can we find you? How can we find the book? How can we do any of the things that we want to do with Trina?
So pretty much my name, Trina Lane, is the brand as a whole. So my Instagram, Facebook, you can find me there. My last name is Olfert. So Dear Erin by Trina Lane Olfert. And April 10th, if not sooner, but that'll be the big book launch there. Absolutely, which is super exciting. You know, the book will take you on a journey. You know, you'll probably see yourself in the stories. You might be uncomfortable, but this is, you know, just sharing the humility of my experience. And at the end of the day, open dialogue, it's a conversation. That's the whole goal with the book, is like having these conversations. And as you saw on my Instagram too, like say too with my socials, just having conversation.
Being open. I'm so thankful for your, I said this just a few minutes ago, but your honesty, your vulnerability, your ability to be open to us and allow us to learn and to give each other permission, you know, hold hands as we're processing through this stuff. It's such a cool, thing. And I truly cannot be more thankful to know you. And even though the reason that we know each other is hard, I'm so thankful that we do.
Me too. Thank you for having me. It was such a delight. Let's do this again soon.
Yes, for sure. Let's do it.
Thank you so much. Thanks to your audience for listening.